One.
Good
Good morning.
morning. It's Brittany, and I'm going to be your moderator today. I'm here with State Senator Wayne Fontana, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Fontana at any time in our program, press star 3, and we'll get you in the lineup. Now let's welcome Senator Wayne Fontana.
Thank you, Brittany, and thank you to all the area residents that are participating on today's call. I'm State Senator Wayne Fontana, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we'll be discussing mail-in voting for the June 2nd primary election, and it's during this coronavirus crisis. With my special guests, two special guests, Secretary of the Commonwealth, Kathy Parkvar, I think I got it right, as well as Allegheny County Executive and Chair of the Allegheny County Election Board, Rich Fitzgerald. And they're here, and they're going to answer any questions that you may have. This format will allow you to listen in and even ask a question from the comfort of your home. And if you'd like to ask a question at any time, as Brittany mentioned, you can press star 3 on your phone. I also want to say that as this pandemic affects every facet of our lives, more and more citizens are doing what they can to keep safe by staying home, practicing social distancing, and keeping in touch with others as remotely as possible. While casting one's vote in the upcoming primary or general election may not be at the top of anyone's priority list right now, it's still an important civic duty in which we all should engage. To that end, we recently enacted legislation that moved our state's April 28th primary election until June 2nd. And just as importantly, a mail-in voting option was enacted last year to empower citizens to vote by mail. Under the new law, people can now register, apply for a ballot, and vote without leaving home. Voting by mail is no longer the exception, as many states have turned their efforts towards this method over the last several years. And especially now, given the situation that is affecting every corner of this nation, more and more are impressing upon our citizens to go this route. The process is simple, it's easy, it's safe, and it's accommodating. And here's why. Here's why voting by mail is easy. It gives you days to look over your ballot and enable you to toss your ballot into the outgoing mail days before the election at your convenience. Your vote is your voice. Ranging from the presidency to the state legislature, there are many significant government offices on the ballot this year. Please take advantage of this new option to vote by mail. And remember, when you want to weigh in and ask a question, press star 3 on your phone. So now I'd like to introduce our guests. The first person I'm going to introduce to say a few words is Secretary Kathy Bachbar. Secretary?
Thank you so much, Senator. Appreciate it. And thank you for your leadership in, you know, what has turned out to be an even more historic legislation than we ever knew it would be. We all knew that 2020 was going to be a historic year. And we all knew that Pennsylvania voters were going to be voting on new voting systems. But when, you know, both parties in the legislature and the administration came together last year to pass Act 77, we had no idea that COVID-19 was going to make the vote by mail option even more important. So I want to thank you and all your colleagues for having more foresight than we even knew. So I just want to say a couple things about, really want to echo what you said about the ease, the convenience, and the trust and reliability and security of this method. So are you all getting feedback from my phone? Because I'm hearing feedback.
It's
you hear
good.
Me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, first of all, Department of State, in conjunction with, we work very closely with all 67 counties, including Allegheny County, and we've been working around the clock to make sure that we balance the public health with access to democracy. So hopefully many of you have seen we've been doing a comprehensive voter education campaign to make sure everybody knows how easy it is and secure to vote by mail. So we've done bilingual radio, television, and digital ads. We've sent postcards and emails and established a sign-up option for voters. And all you need to do is go to votespa.com and you put in a couple pieces of information, your name, your address, your PennDOT ID, and you can apply for a ballot. And over 1.4 million applications have already been submitted to date. And just to give everybody context, compare that to 2016 primary, when 107,000 people voted absentee. We already have 1.4 million applications. If you want your application mailed to you instead of going online to Votes PA, you can call 1-877-VOTES-PA and we'll mail it to you. So second, on top of that great option, we are still going to have polling places open on June 2nd. And you should think about this just the way you think about going to the grocery store or any other essential business. Go, wear a mask, go vote, and then go home and stay safe. There's, you know, just treat it the same way you would do anything else. The poll workers will be wearing masks. We've provided masks and gloves and hand sanitizer and floor marking tape to all the counties. And you just follow the same rules that you would at the supermarket. And then we've also distributed money to all the counties to make sure that they have the ability to buy supplies and equipment and so forth and help manage all the voting options that we have. So I want to thank everybody. You know, whether you choose to vote by mail, like the 1.4 million who have already applied, or you choose to go on June 2nd, we'll make sure that voting is safe and secure and reliable.
Thank you, Secretary. Next, I'd like to introduce our County Executive, Rich Fitzgerald, to say a few words.
Thanks, Senator, and also, Secretary, thank you and your great work and your team throughout this. Along with the Secretary talking statewide, in Allegheny County, about 180,000 people have already applied for ballots online. To put that in perspective, 4 years ago, we had 15,000 people that voted absentee. So you can see the difference. We have about 800,000 registered voters, Democrats and Republicans, in Allegheny County. So already we're about 22-23% turnout, which was the turnout we had 4 years ago. So you can see that so many people are availing themselves of the ease and the convenience. Senator, you said it so well, and thank you for continuing to push this. Even before the pandemic hit, it made a lot of sense. And we were very much into robustly marketing this and promoting this to people for the ease, for the security, for a whole lot of reasons. So we're glad to see people are availing themselves. As you know, we will have in-person voting on Election Day. It'll be very limited because of the restriction of getting the poll workers, those five people that sit there for 13 hours and check you in and process all the voters as they come through. We know the risk of folks going out and being in contact. So hopefully with the masks and the gloves and the things that the secretary and her team are providing for us, we can make it safe for those that show up. But the safest way is to vote by mail. Stay at home, fill out your ballot, stick it in the mail, and your vote will be processed.
Thank you, Rich. At this point, I guess we can open up for questions. Brittany, star 3 on your phone if you want to talk or ask a question.
You got it, Senator. So we already have a few queued up, and we're going to get to as many as possible here today.
So first,
let's talk to Larry in McKees Rock, who's got a question about the security of mail-in balloting. Larry, I've unmuted your line. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Hey, hi. How you guys doing? I appreciate you doing this, and I wanted to ask about security. You know, I realize during this thing that we're having going on here, this corona thing, mail-in voting is great, but I believe the people should go down and vote. I'm not at this time, but people should be not voting by mail, because how would you know who's voting? I mean, you need to go down and show your identification. This is who I am, and vote. I mean, that's the way it's been, and that's the way it should be. And that's what I believe. And I just understand that now we're doing this because of the virus, but I don't think that this should be an ongoing thing. And that's my opinion. What do you got to say about that?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. Let me start off by saying that there are other states, at least five other states that do mail-in voting, in Oregon for one, which is my legislation is patterned after. They've been doing it since 1998, and there's very, very, very little fraud that's happened there. And in fact, they're in place. They have a lot of criteria. For example, identity verifications that are listed inside the envelope, the outer envelope. There's barcodes, there's ballot tracking, and there are also secure drop-off places if you just want to go drop it off at a Dropbox somewhere. There's harsh penalties and there's audits. They're the kinds of things that are in place in a lot of the other states that actually have this mail-in balloting operation and have done a good job with it. It's more about giving people, going forward. Right now, safety is a big thing. But going forward, I think it's more about the convenience and giving more opportunity for citizens to have a voice. As was mentioned earlier, I think by Chief Executive Fitzgerald, it's 23%. I mean, unless in a presidential election, you don't see that kind of a turnout. We would hope that that increases by the time June 2nd comes, but also going forward, that's the kind of balloting we want to see. We want more people to voice, whether they're Democrat, Republican, no matter what they are, what registration they are, we want them to have a voice and we want them to be part of the political system. So anyone else want to chime in there?
Yes, Senator, let me say also to Larry's point, there are a lot of safeguards. And I would say the number one safeguard is you have to sign that return envelope. And that return envelope signature is compared to the signature you have when you registered to vote, just like when you show up on election day when you have to sit there and sign the card. And I understand Larry's point. I mean, I love to go vote. I love the pageantry. I love the participatory democracy. I understand all of that, and it's a great thing. But obviously right now with the safety issue, it's worrisome for a lot of people. Now, let me also say that under the old machine system, you had a lot of people that didn't trust that. They thought the machines could be hacked. And, you know, we heard that, you know, the conspiracy theories that the Russians were flipping votes and this type of thing. So, you know, we want to make democracy participatory so as many people can participate as you can. You want to make it safe, obviously, and secure, and you want to make it convenient. So you add all those things up. And I think Senator talked about Oregon and some of these other states. They've been doing it for years, and there's very, very little, even a thought that there's fraud going on in these other areas.
Yeah, and I'll just add, so on the what you should know about the way this works, and this, you know, people have been voting absentee in Pennsylvania for decades and decades and decades. So the mail-in process is the same. So what happens is when you send in your application, you have to put your PennDOT ID or the last four of your Social Security number. And so what's happened is there's checking on both the front end and the back end. So the front end, before you even get a ballot sent to you, you're being checked against the PennDOT database or the Social Security number database to check your eligibility. And if you're not eligible, you don't get a ballot. And then as County Executive Fitzgerald mentioned, on the back end, once your ballot comes into the county election office, your eligibility is being checked again before your ballot is counted. So it's the front end and the back end checking is what makes this incredibly secure. And the system prevents more, like you couldn't vote more than once even if you tried to, because the system only allows one ballot to be assigned to a person. So it's actually in some ways, you know, it's at least as secure, if not more secure, than voting in person, because again, your eligibility and your identity is checked on the front end and the back end. And as the senator said, five states do almost entirely vote by mail, but more than 30 states do what we do, which is some version of no excuse or no reason needed absentees. And so this is the majority of the country, Republican, Democratic, purple, that do it this way. And it's really been shown to be just as secure and reliable as any other way of voting. And it gives options.
Thank you. Brittany, we have more questions?
We've got a bunch more. I just want to remind our speakers, when you're not speaking, if you can mute your line, it might be a little bit clearer for our listeners. And for the listeners, if you have a question, press *3 and we will get you in our lineup. So we're going to go to Susan in Carnegie next, who's a poll worker. Susan, I've unmuted your line. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Okay. When we received the books that have all of the eligible voters, you know, that we check them and have them sign when they vote. And what I want to know is there going to be any designation near their name that says that they've already voted by mail?
I can answer this question if you'd like.
Yes.
Yeah, my understanding is yes, there will be. If you've already voted, or even if you've applied to vote, you will not be able to get another ballot. So once you've applied, you have to vote by mail. You can no longer vote in person. Now, if there's a dispute at the polling place and you claim you haven't received the ballot and it checked off that you did, you can always vote provisional. There will be a provisional ballot that the voter can vote. It'll be set aside and then looked at a later date, because as the secretary said, you cannot vote twice, and there's checks and balances to make sure that happens, both at the county and at the state, for that to happen.
Okay, so their name will still show up on the printout, but it'll say that they've already voted by mail. It'll designate they voted by mail already.
Correct.
That is my understanding.
Yeah, and it's going to be very clear. So the way you're going to see it, it's going to be for people who have already submitted their ballot, there won't even be a signature line in the book. So you'll see their name, and they'll be, you know, obviously listed as a registered voter, but you literally won't even be able to sign them in. It will be that obvious. It will say already cast ballot. And if they do show up, then you would just, as Executive Fitzgerald said, just you would send them to vote by provisional ballot if they disagree. But it will be very, very obvious. And we did that intentionally for poll workers. And I want to thank you for being a poll worker. I was a poll worker. It was my first job in elections. And I know how critically important it is. So thank you so much for serving.
All right, now let's go to Charles, who has already applied for a mail-in ballot, but thinks there might be a hiccup. So, Charles, you are unmuted. Go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, thanks for everybody being there. I appreciate that, and I really appreciate the mail-in ballot making it so easy. There should be no excuse not to vote. If you don't vote, don't complain. But my wife and I applied for our mail-in ballots, and here we wound up getting three apiece. So I hope there's some type of security. I don't want people to think there's something nefarious going on. You know, I believe in one person, one vote. Thank you.
There is not, Charles. And that there was a little bit of a glitch. And again, in a new system, when they would run a batch, when it would time out, it would and reboot again, the batch would start again. And there have been some duplicates that have gone out. There was a notice that went out, and the media's covered this pretty, you know, there's been a lot of media coverage on it. Number one, if you get two ballots or even a third ballot, only vote once. You can throw the other two away. But even if you tried to vote twice or three times or whatever, it will reject those other votes. It's only going to allow you to vote once, because the barcode system would check it out and reject that other ballot. Secretary, you might want to weigh in on this as well.
Yeah, you said it exactly right. So what basically it sounds like happened is there was a huge, because, you know, the good news is so many people are wanting to use, you know, wanting to apply. And so I've had this happen to me a million times where you try to print out too many things at once and the printer times out. And sometimes if you turn it off and turn it on again, it prints it out again. So what happened was the user tried to print out too many at once. It was too large of a file, basically, or files, and it reprinted some labels again. And so it was completely just one of those technology errors in use, and it's completely avoidable by just doing smaller batches. So that's, you know, those discussions have been had, and as County Executive said, just submit one, throw out the others. But even if you tried, it wouldn't work, because the system literally prevents more than one vote from being attributed to a person. So if you submitted four, only one would count, and the rest would be destroyed.
That is good to know. It actually answers a few questions that I'm seeing here from our other callers. Now, Shannon in Scott Township has a question about polling places, the actual physical location. So, Shannon, your line is unmuted now, and you can go ahead and ask a question.
Oh, okay. Thank you, ma'am, and thank you, Senator, for hosting this session. My question is, it's been advertised in local media that not all polling stations will be open. How do I find out if my station will be open?
Well, let me answer that one for you, Shannon. Yes, there's going to be one polling place, one physical building for each municipality. And usually that would either be at the high school or the municipal building, a building that's very identifiable and has all the things that we need, accessibility, parking, you know, safety distance, physical distance, all those kind of things. So for folks from Scott Township, they will be voting at the Chartiers Valley Middle School. The address is 50 Tom's Run Road, where they will be voting. And now Scott might have four or five polling places within the middle school. They might be in different rooms. They might be spread apart in the hallway to keep that physical distance. And how it would work is when you walk in there, they will ask you your name. And depending on the last name, it's going to be done in alphabetical order. So you don't need to know which district you live in, which ward you live in, all those type of things. It'll be done by alphabetical order. So there would be also a postcard that will be going out to all voters that would tell you where your polling place is. And even if you did show up at your old polling place, which might be a church or a VFW or some other place, there would be a notice on the door that would alert you as to where the polling place is.
Cool, thank you.
All right, next we're gonna go to Jerry in Greentree, who wants to talk about making sure his vote is counted. So Jerry, your line is unmuted, and you can go ahead and ask.
Thank you. I can think of no better reason to vote by mail if there is consolidation of the voting precincts. For instance, in Greentree, if we go from 8 to 4, there may be lines at some of the places that you normally wouldn't encounter. So thank you for making it available, the mail by vote. When I vote in person at the Greentree Borough Building, right before I finish, there's a red button. I press it to confirm my vote, and it assures me that my vote has been counted. So I'm just curious, for those of us that are going to vote by mail for the first time, how can we be assured that that letter made it to its destination and that our vote indeed was counted? Thank you very much.
Secretary, you want to take that one?
That's a good question, though. Yes.
Yes, good question. So first of all, if you apply online, or even if you apply by paper, if you enter your email address for vote by mail, you'll get notifications. So I highly, highly suggest that you put your email address because for example, when your application is approved, you'll get an email confirmation. When your ballot is being sent to you, you'll get an email notification. And when your ballot is received, you'll get a notification. So it's set up to be designed to take all the questions out of the equation. And if you have any questions, if it's taking longer than what you thought, just call. You can call your county election office and they can look you up in the system and say, yes, your ballot was mailed to you 2 days ago. You should get it any day and so forth. So there's all those trackers are in the system should you have questions.
Okay, now we have a similar question from a commissioner in Reserve Township. So Ed, I'm going to unmute your line and you can go ahead and ask.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm Commissioner Ed Vincent from Reserve Township. And was that if you vote in person up there, are you going to receive like that little from when you sign the card, or is there another way of getting it? And I heard that last question, but I know people that don't have emails or don't even have computers. How do they find out whether their vote's been cast?
This is a question about vote by mail as well. You're talking about voting by mail, correct, or absentee?
think he is, yeah, the secretary.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, then call. Then anybody can call. So if they don't, even with a smartphone, by the way, you can do it on your phone, even if you don't have a full computer. So you could go, you can look online. You can, you know, if you have a smartphone, and there's even like a tracker. So you could go to VotesPA, track your ballot status, and enter your name and your birthday and find out that way if you have a smartphone. But if you don't have anything, you can just call the county election office, and literally they'll ask you for your name and, you know, maybe your date of birth and so forth, and they can look you up and just tell you. So that's the best way. And I've done it before, and don't hesitate. Like the county election, yes, they are extreme. They are very busy. So if you get a voicemail and leave a message, be patient with getting the answer, but don't hesitate to call, because that's what they're there for. They're there to let you know when your ballot has been sent and when it's been received.
And we as elected officials will certainly help with that if you need help. We're there, and we'll make those calls or help you find out, because it is important to know that your vote was counted.
Okay, now we're going to go to a question on counting the mail-in ballots. So Nancy in Mount Washington, you're live now to go ahead and ask.
Yes, I have two questions. When are they going to count the ballots? Are they going to wait until after 8 o'clock, or are they going to start counting them as they receive them? Who is going to be counting them, and who's watching the counters?
Nancy, that is a great question. And if you remember back to early in the year, the very first election that happened in Iowa, the Iowa caucuses, they voted on whatever day it was, and we were waiting 4 or 5 days for results. And I think a lot of folks like myself and other elected officials, Senator Fontana, were worried about that voting, particularly as so many people were expected to vote by mail even before the pandemic hit. And they changed the legislation to allow election departments to begin counting the ballots in the morning at 7 o'clock when the polls open. So it will give, for example, our county, Allegheny County, our election department will have 13 hours to start counting those ballots. As I said, 180,000 now, and they're coming in every day. It's going to be, you know, we know it'll be well over 200,000 ballots that'll need to be counted. We've purchased some high-speed counters that will allow us to go through that. There will be allowed to be people that can check that from both parties or both campaigns that are able to go through and challenge the system like they always have been. But hopefully we will be able to have some of those results shortly after the polls close, rather than, you know, have to wait 2 or 3 days the way they did in Iowa and some other places.
Okay, now we are going to go to Margaret in the north side, who wants to talk about her mail-in application process. Margaret, your line's open. Go ahead and ask.
Thank you. I had applied for the mail-in ballot and have received a copy of the application from Allegheny County, and I also received one from the Voter Project in Philadelphia. I'm noticing some barcodes on those. Is it important that I use one or the other? Is there any difference between these applications?
Rich, jump in if you want to disagree, but I would highly suggest you use the one that you got from the county. That organization, let's just say they operate using old addresses, names, and frankly have caused problems. So I'd rather you not go through that organization. They're just an independent organization. Yeah. Use the county one.
Yes.
Absolutely. I would absolutely agree. And one of the things that we did in Allegheny County is, for those that did not apply, and many did, we had many people apply either online or mailing them in, but even those that didn't apply, we mailed an application to every single registered voter, at Democrat and Republican in Allegheny County. That's the official application, with an envelope, with the return address, pre-stamped, pre-postage paid, trying to make it as convenient as we can. So, yes, I absolutely would recommend you use the official application that the Allegheny County Election Department will be was sending out.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now we're getting a few questions about the timeline for a mail-in ballot, and I want to remind anybody on the line, if you have a question, to hit *3, and we'll get you in the lineup. We're going to go to Leonard now, who wants to talk about the process. Leonard, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just trying to find out where mine is. I've mailed it back about 3 weeks ago, still haven't received it. Is it going to take longer than 3 weeks to get the ballot back?
Well, Leonard, let me say this. As I said, as we began the town hall, you know, 4 years ago, we had 15,000 people that applied for absentee mail-in ballots. And as of now, we're up to 180,000, and they continue to come in. So one of the things we've done is we've added an extra shift. We've added a lot of extra workers, some of our temporary seasonal park workers and some of our court records workers are also processing these. But as you can imagine, there's a lot to process. So be patient. You can follow it. It'll get to you. But they're working very diligently. But they're processing thousands and thousands of applications a day. But we've got time. Be patient. It'll get there.
Okay. Now we've talked a lot about the primary election, but we've got a question now about the general election in November. So we're going to go to Rich and Carnegie for that one. Rich, your line is unmuted. Go ahead.
Thank you. And thank you for this great process. Seamless on my part. Question. In November, will I have to reapply for a ballot? Thank you.
I can take this one if you'd like. I have a question back for you. When you applied for your mail-in ballot this time, did you check, there was a box that would allow you to check an option to not have to reapply and to be permanently on the mail-in list. Do you recall whether you checked that box or not?
I do not recall.
So you can call your county election office and ask them. We now, part of the you know, great Act 77 legislation that was passed in the fall allowed people to sign up for this annual permanent list where if you check the box, you don't have to apply again for any election held that year. So if you did check that box, you would automatically get your ballot in November. But if you didn't check that box, then you would need to reapply. So call the county election office and just ask. They'll either have you on that list or not. And for the future, you can check that box, and then you'll just know that all elections held that year, you'll automatically get a ballot without having to reapply.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, now let's go to Jacqueline in the north side who has a question about election security. Jacqueline, your line is open. Go ahead and ask. Jacqueline, are you there?
Hello, I wanted to know how you know that the people who are voting are actually citizens. Every year you hear that in Wisconsin 3 years ago, 300,000 people voted who were dead. Now that's 3 years too late to find that out. How do you know that when somebody is applying for this, they are actually the person who is on that thing and not somebody using a dead person's name and voting? Because security of our elections from foreigners is a very big deal. And what's more easy to do than have a foreigner vote in somebody else's name?
You want me to take this one? So this thorough, regular, what's called list maintenance in Pennsylvania. So each county is mandated by law and does very comprehensively go through, you know, obituaries and Department of Health records of deceased voters every, I think, 60 days. In some counties they may do it more often, but I think it has to be at least 60 days. In addition, when people vote, so there's like a national change of address list maintenance that happens every year, and all the counties have to go through and compare their list to this national change of address list. In addition, Pennsylvania belongs to what's called ERIC, which is the Electronic Registration Information Center. And it's a national organization that not only has us checking against our list in Pennsylvania, but has us comparing our list to other states. So over 30 states have already joined ERIC. And basically, the more states that join, the more accurate our lists are, because it's the more other states that we can check against. So Pennsylvania is constantly updating our list. We're going to be updating. Usually it's done in the summer. The biggest part of it is done in the summer between the primary and the general, so that going into the general election, we know that the lists are as much up to date as it could possibly be. And all the counties will be doing that this summer. So Pennsylvania is ahead of the curve on making sure that we're keeping all our lists accurate. And we highly encourage every voter, of course, in addition, to make sure that when you move, make sure you update your registration as well. But even if they don't, we're going to do it for them. So you can feel confident in Pennsylvania's list.
The other thing to add on to that, Jacqueline, is you have to fill in on your application your driver's license or your PennDOT ID. Obviously, if somebody's deceased, that ID would be no longer good. You also, in doing the application and voting, you've got to sign. You've got to put your signature on that. So they're able to match your signature, and our signatures are all individual. It's like a fingerprint. So there are a number of checks and balances to prevent somebody from, you know, stealing somebody's identity in a way that they would vote. So I just can't imagine those kind of numbers, 300,000 people, that they'd be able to pull, you know, something like that off. There's just so many checks and balances in addition to what the secretary had already mentioned.
Okay, now we're going to go to Ann in Cherry Hills, who wants to ask about picking up a mail-in ballot. Ann, your line is open. Go ahead and ask. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I unmuted the wrong line. We're going to have Deborah now in Carnegie, who mailed her ballot back and has a question about that. Deborah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Go ahead and ask a question.
Thank you for the open forum. This is great. My question is I've sent in my application. I haven't received my ballot back yet to vote, so I'm not worried about that. It's only been a few days, but if, in fact, I mail it back and you don't get it by June the 2nd, say maybe you get it on June the 5th, then are you still open to take those, or do they just are not counted?
No, they would not be counted. So here's the fail-safe on that. Let's assume you don't get the mail in until late and you check, and on June 2nd you still check and they haven't received it. You can always go down to the county office building on that day and cast a provisional ballot that would allow you to make sure that your vote does count. So there's that extra safeguard for somebody who feels like the mail didn't work or they didn't get it in on time, but they still want to vote. You always have that option on election day to go down to the county office building on Ross Street and cast that provisional ballot.
Okay, now we're actually going to go to Ann in Cherry Hills, who had a question about picking up a ballot. So, Ann, you're live now.
Oh, thanks. Two questions. One, is there a physical place to pick up a ballot? And two, what is the county election number that's been referred to a few times?
Rich, do you have that number offhand for Allegheny? If not, I could pull it up.
I do not, as a matter of fact. I'm looking at all my, I just don't have it in front of me. But the other other question, the first question was, Ann, about picking up a ballot. What you can do, we've always had this, it's always been the case, it's called over-the-counter voting, where you can show up, again, at the election department on the sixth floor of the county office building, you know, obviously with your ID, et cetera, and you go in and your birth date of birth and the numbers that you need to do, just like you would do on the application, and they would be able to give you a ballot at that point.
I think the phone number is of the Election Bureau is 412-350-4500, 350-4500. I Googled it.
Very resourceful, Senator, as you always are.
Thank you. That was really aiming.
All right, now we're going to go to Bob, who has a question about the polling locations across Allegheny County. Bob, you are live now.
Yes, County Executive. Can you tell me when the Allegheny County Department of Elections will release the locations of all the polling places that everybody can go to?
I believe that will actually be released today. They've got them all lined up. I think there was one last municipality where they were figuring out whether it was to be at the municipal building or the local school. They're pretty much all, if you want to ask me any of them now, I could probably give them to you. Yeah, that should be released later today.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now let's go to Jill in Greentree, who applied for a mail-in ballot and is having trouble getting the correct one. So Jill, your line is unmuted. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Oh, thank you so much. I also second other people. Thank you for this forum, and I'm so excited to have mail-in voting in Pennsylvania. Thank you so much. County Executive Fitzgerald, I guess this question is for you. I received my mail-in ballot on Saturday. Unfortunately, I'm a registered Democrat, and I got the Republican ballot. I have been trying for 1 week to get somebody. I've called. I've left voicemail messages. I've emailed them. I can't get any response. I'd like to get my correct ballot, and then I need to know what I do with the ballot that I have because of all the barcodes. I'm just really frustrated because I can't get anybody to respond to me.
If you could leave, you don't have to put it on now, but if you want to either call my office at 350-6500, 412-350-6500. If you want to leave your name and say that, you know, we talked on the Fontana Town Hall meeting, or if you want to leave your name with Brittany, if you can do that, and then we'll follow up and see if we can help you out.
All right, we can absolutely do that. I have your phone number and name here, and we'll make sure that someone in Senator Fontana's office or County Commissioner's office gets back to you.
That'd be
now
great.
Let's try to get to a couple more questions. We've got about 15 minutes left, so if you want to ask something, you can go ahead and hit *3, and we'll try to get to you before we run out of time here. Now let's go to Jeanette in Pittsburgh, who wants to talk about permanency for mail-in ballot. Jeanette, you're live now. Go ahead and ask.
On the mail-in ballot application, thank you so much for having this forum also, I concur. On the ballot application, number 7, it states if you want the mail-in ballot to continue. Does the mail-in ballot continue only for 1 year, and do you have to reapply the next year?
Yes. So if you check that box, here's what will happen. For that year, you'll get all the ballots for any election that year, and that includes primary, general, and if there's any special elections that you're eligible to vote in, it also covers that. Then what will happen is in February of next year, you'll permanently be on a list that will get a mailing from the election office that will say, hi, you've been on the permanent list before. Do you want to be on it for this year as well? And then you just need to let them know the answer is yes, and then you'll automatically get ballots for all elections that year. So each year you'll have the choice of saying yes or no. Permanently, they will mail you that choice every February.
Okay, now let's go to Imelda, who wants to ask about how the votes are counted. Imelda, your line is unmuted. You can go ahead and ask.
Oh, thank you, and good morning, everybody. I wanted to just know how they're counted once we mail them out. Are they hand counted, or do we have machines downtown?
Okay.
Yeah, Imelda, okay. They will be counted by machine.
Will you do it today or what?
A couple of hundred thousand ballots that would be mailed in, and if we were all counting them by hand, it would we might be waiting a few days until we get those results, and I don't think people would be very happy about that. So, yeah, there will be machines, high-speed machines that the county has purchased. I'm sure other counties doing similar things along those lines, but, yeah, they'll be tabulated. Now, there's also the, you know, if it's a very close election or people want to challenge, you can go through and do a recount that can always be done by hand. But on election night, the numbers that we get and the results we get will be done by machine.
And then there's also the post-election audits, which do involve hand counting. So, you know, a select number are audited to confirm the results of the tabulation. And that's done every election.
Right, that's good to know. Now let's go to Chris in the north side, who wants to talk about independence voting in the primary. Chris,
hi, thanks
for
taking
unmuted. You go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This isn't necessarily about just the mail-in ballot. It's just about the voting process in general. I've been an independent for years. This is the first time I switched to a different party so that I can vote in the primary. Is there anything about changing the ability for everybody who's a registered voter to vote in the primary? Even if they don't have a candidate running from their party.
I can tell you that in the Senate, in the General Assembly, there's been some discussion about that, about letting the third party have a vote. So that's something that I can't say is happening right now, but it's something that has certainly been discussed and will continue to discuss it. It seems like it has... some momentum in that they just want to make sure it's fair to every candidate. So would an independent candidate would be doing the same things and have the same criteria as a Democrat or a Republican that it's running. So I think it's about working out details and that sort of thing. But it is something I think it's on our radar, and it's something that is being discussed.
Okay, great. Now we've gotten a few questions submitted online. I want to get to them as well. So Eric asked, when was the last time the county purged non-voters from the voter roll?
That's actually being done as we speak. I think that gets done on a constant basis, but I know it's being done this year. There's actually a lawsuit that was filed, and there was an organization that's filed a number of them around the country and for a number of counties, and Allegheny was one of those, and one of those was about purging rolls for people that had been deceased, moved away, duplicate type of applications, those type of things. So those rolls are being purged and have been purged this year.
Okay, now we're getting a couple more questions about the security and the counting process. So let's go to Mary Ann in Beachview for her question on that. Mary, your line's open. Go ahead and ask.
Thank you for the forum today. I'm just very concerned about the oversight of the counting of the ballots because I know we're a very Democratic county, and being a Republican, I just want to make sure my vote gets counted and not tossed in the trash.
So, you want to go ahead?
Secretary.
Okay, so there are state laws that require a balance of parties in the canvassing process. So in addition to, and people have to be sworn by the county. It's, you know, it's a very serious official action to be able to be sworn in, but it has to have balance of parties. And in addition to that, there are watchers that can watch the entire process. So there'll be, you know, I think the candidates have the opportunity to have watchers and the parties have the opportunity. And Rich, you can talk about what it looks like on the individual level. But there are, you know, very strict state laws that set that balance of party watching process.
Yeah, very, very much so. And the parties and candidates have the ability to monitor and watch the counting that goes done. In addition, when those mail-in ballots are mailed in, they are mailed and put in a secure location with a 24-hour camera as well as security to secure the ballots and chain of custody and those type of things. So there's many, many checks and balances to make sure that your vote is counted. And again, as the secretary said, people are sworn in. There's obviously very, very severe penalties for people that commit fraud and try to tamper with the election process.
All right, now we've got another question here online from Erica in Stanton Heights. If the address on your ID is different from where you're currently staying, does that make a difference when you apply for a mail-in ballot?
So what you should do is you're going to need to put in your address where you're registered, but then you can specify that you want it mailed somewhere else. So if you have any questions about those boxes, either on the paper form or what have you, call the county election office and they'll walk you through it. But you're going to need to have your sort of official address of record so they can check your identification, but you can specify a different address to have the ballot mailed to you. And that's completely easy to do. But if you have questions, call your county election office.
Okay, now we've got about 5 minutes left. I think we can get to a couple more questions. So Darla in Mount Washington voted by mail and wants to chat with us about it. So Darla, your line's unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. This forum was excellent, answered and provided information I hadn't even thought of. But I wanted to say how great this procedure was. I applied for the ballot. I got my ballot, and I mailed it and got to vote. My greatest pleasure in life is going to the polls and voting, but being a senior with asthma, I decided I would do this, and it was a very easy process. And I do thank the three of you for this forum. It was so informative.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, now let's go to Abby in Kennedy Township, who wants to know if he can go to a polling place, even if he's applied for a mail-in ballot. So Abby, go ahead and ask a question. Abby, you still there?
Yes. Sorry, I had a mute button on. Can you hear me? Hello?
Perfectly. Yep.
Yes.
You're live with us.
All right. Well, I did apply for the form, and I filled it out, and I'm ready to mail today. But my question, and I think a couple of questions ago it was answered, but I want to clarify, and that is if I were to mail it in, then I cannot go to the polling station. Correct?
That is correct, Abby. Once you apply, you have to vote by mail at that point. So if you, as the secretary said earlier, if you did show up to vote, your card has already been marked or removed that you've already voted and you wouldn't be able to vote again.
Okay, now I think we have time for one more question. So let's go to Janet in the north side. Janet, your line's unmuted. Go ahead and ask.
Hello. Thank you for having this. This is wonderful. I had applied on the internet for an application. I filled it out on the internet, and I'm still waiting for my ballot. And I called my state rep, and he checked for me, and it stated that my ballot was mailed out May 4th. And now I'm starting to panic. And I had heard earlier that they are behind, so they said, don't worry and we'll be okay. I mean, is this still true?
Yes, Janet, that's absolutely true. And oftentimes what you're saying, that it would be marked on at you, it was mailed out at a certain date. It may still be in the process of actually hitting what we would consider the actual mail, the post office. So yes, remain patient. You're going to get your ballot. If you get near the end and then you call in and check, but I would be patient. You're going to be fine.
All right, Senator, I think we're nearly at the end of our time. If you want to get final remarks from the rest of our panel.
Very good. Thank you, Brittany. I just want to thank everyone that participated in our telephone town hall, to those that listened in, and obviously to the folks that actually asked the questions. I know there might be some that we didn't get to, and we will get to them. if you left your name and phone number and contact information, myself or someone from my office will definitely get back to you. I definitely want to thank our special guests. Secretary is very busy. The chief executive is very busy, but I want to thank Secretary Kathy Bachvar and County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. This has, I think, been very, very, very informative for everyone that was listening and asked the questions. And again, don't forget, if you didn't have a chance to ask your question, you can remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. And again, thank you all for participating. If you have any additional questions about or concerns about anything, please call my office at 412-344-2551 or visit my website at senatorfontana.com. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day.
All right. Thank you for participating in Senator Wayne Fontana's telephone town hall. You've been a great audience. We thank you for sharing a little bit of your morning with us.